you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Outdoor Cooking Show, a weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. This edition of the Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Boyd's One Stop, located at the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's your host, the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
Well, here come the dog days of summer, when even Fido looks for shade. Oh, well, it's August. It's supposed to be hot, right? We'd be worried if it wasn't hot this time of year. But let's save global warming for another show and another time, shall we? So in these dog days of summer, who the heck wants to add to the heat by standing by the open flame of an outdoor cooker? I do. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I love it. Yeah, even when it feels hot enough to sear your steak well done, even without firing up the cooker, I still love to smoke up the neighborhood, if nothing else, just to make the neighbors jealous. Now, I will admit, in August, I don't hover over the grill like I do in, say, November or December, but you'll find that my masculinity is not easily intimidated, especially when it comes to a little sweat, even during the dog days. So I do not hesitate to throw something on the fire and watch it sizzle. So grill on and sweat on. But you know, sizzle is a good word for outdoor cooking. This time of year, I guess any time of year, but it's especially meaningful right now in the dog days when the meat sizzles on the grill and your skin sizzles under the torrid Texas summer sun. I'm a freckled redhead, and so I sizzle especially profusely. Sizzle has an extra meaning on this show, however. There's an old saying in the advertising industry, a business with which I am fairly familiar. That old saying is, sell the sizzle, not the steak. Now, in the parlance of Madison Avenue, the ad man, advertising executives, sell the sizzle, not the steak, simply means that no one really cares how you built your gizmo, whatever it is you're advertising. No one really cares how your gizmo works. What they really want to know is, how is it going to make their lives better? For instance, and this is a great example in the dog days of summer, no one really cares how an air conditioner is built, right? No one really cares how an air conditioner is maintained. No one really cares how an air conditioner gets fixed. All you really care about is how effective is it when it comes to keeping the temperature at about 75 degrees during the month of August in the state of Texas, during the dog days. However, when it comes to those of us who engage in this obsessive-compulsive behavior that we affectionately refer to as outdoor cooking, a little sizzle is not only a good thing, it's absolutely necessary in my mind. But as I've said to you before, I've always considered grilling to be a job, but I'm learning to make it a joy. Outdoor cooking should be a pleasurable process, not just a means to an end, like a good medium-rare steak. And a little sweat equity is a small price to pay for a tasty reward, like a good medium-rare steak. So grill on and sweat on. My multimedia company, Edgewater Studios in Sugar Land, Texas, is the production arm of the Outdoor Cooking Show, which simply means that we produce the shows. But one of the most important contributors to the Outdoor Cooking Show is a guy named Greg Berlocker. Now, Greg is our executive producer. Greg, unlike me, is what you'd call a true dyed-in-the-wool foodie. I mean, this guy has always considered cooking to be a joy, not a job. So I don't think he'd be offended if I called him a zealot, a cooking zealot. Enthusiast would be an understatement. That would almost be an insult to Greg, because Greg loves the cooking process, and he is especially fanatical about grilling outdoors. So recently, our Facebook page, which is simply titled The Outdoor Cooking Show. It's the best way to get in touch with us. Just send us a message. Go to Facebook, type in The Outdoor Cooking Show, and send us a message. Our Facebook page received one such message from one of our listeners. His name is Alex Miller. Alex wanted to know the best way to beach barbecue, in his words, with the least amount of work and mess. Ah, good priorities, Alex. So Alex and Greg exchanged ideas and recipes for quite a little while on Facebook, and at the end of it, Alex promised that he would spread the word among his friends about the Outdoor Cooking Show. Thank you, Alex. Please feel free to come back and comment anytime. Give us some of your best recipes. We'd love that. So when I read that conversation on Facebook, I had one of those light bulb moments. So I've invited Greg Berlocker, our executive producer, to be one of our guests on the show today. I'm going to have him explain to you what he explained to Alex, his technique for beach barbecue or beach grilling, whichever you prefer, because they are, after all, two entirely different styles of cooking. And we'll also pick Greg's brain for some of his favorite recipes for cooking at the beach. But Alex is not the only person who's reached out to the Outdoor Cooking Show, or more specifically to me personally, and all of those comments have not been complimentary. How shall I say this diplomatically? They've been downright critical in some cases. But I am determined to take the high road and assume that these comments were made in good, clean fun. But listen to this. Randy, you might be the most unqualified person in the world to host the Outdoor Cooking Show. Everyone knows the optimum temperature at the meat's core is 160 degrees, yet you ask that question not once but twice of two different guests during the show I just listened to. Guilty as charged. And then there's this one. Randy, you don't even know how to pronounce paleo? I think I called it paleo to begin with. That's one of the most common diets in the world. How could you not know that? Guilty as charged. Again. Paleo. But this was the best one. Randy, you claimed you've known Ray Greek of Greek Smokehouse for decades and you didn't even remember where you met him? Good grief, what a moron. Guilty as charged a third time, especially the moron part. Nah, don't worry about it. I'm used to it. It's my wife's favorite pet name for me. Again, I'm going to treat all those comments good-naturedly, but let me just remind you, I'm a lifelong dedicated novice when it comes to outdoor cooking. I am rigorously determined to stay that way. I've already explained that I think my lack of knowledge is actually a good thing as far as being the host of the Outdoor Cooking Show, because I won't hesitate to ask the stupid questions that other people are too embarrassed to ask. You know, like what's the optimum temperature at the core of the meat, or how do you pronounce the word paleo? And if in the process of asking those stupid questions, other people learn something new along with me, well, then that's a good thing. And if you already know these things, then you can just go right ahead and bask in an air of superiority. And just know it's not going to hurt my feelings in the least little bit. Please contact us on our Facebook page. And as for when it comes to forgetting about where I met Ray Greek, heck, at my age, I can't even remember why I walk in the kitchen half the time. And I refuse to let that bother me, at least until it starts happening when I walk in the bathroom. I mean, after all, there are only a couple of different things I can do in the bathroom, and one of them is fairly important for a person my age. So, Let the moronic questions begin. We're talking about outdoor cooking today over an unprotected flame, like beach cooking or campfire cooking. And in the name of education and intellectual inferiority, I promise I will do my best to embarrass myself as often as possible over the next 40 minutes.
If your barbecue has gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com. Does the cell phone connectivity in your office stink? Do you routinely miss calls? Lots of buildings have dead zones, and that means garbled or dropped calls, but not anymore. Texas Cell Phone Boosters provides FCC-approved cell phone booster systems that can make dead zones a thing of the past. These are not rinky-dink systems from big-box stores. These are commercial-grade booster systems that cover tens of thousands of square feet. And Texas Cell Phone Boosters will specifically engineer and install a system in your office or warehouse. If you drive or regularly work in remote locations, Texas Cell Phone Boosters can help you boost a weak signal from a tower a long way off. So don't miss calls from potential customers any longer. Call the pros at Texas Cell Phone Boosters, 832-551-1000. That's 832-551-1000. Or go to texascellphoneboosters.com. Randy Hames is my name, but many of you know me better as half of one of Houston's most iconic early morning comedy radio shows, The Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, I'm no longer Irv Harrigan, but I've written a book about the show that I think you'll love. Fred Olson and I hosted the show for almost 30 years, and we enjoyed unbelievable rating success and won numerous awards. But the best part was, we were just having fun. Listeners told us they laughed all the way to work every day, too, with characters such as Jim Bob Jumpback, The Story Guy, and Tyrone, plus dozens of others. Houston's morning show recreates some of those hilarious on-air moments and gives you a unique behind-the-scenes peek at even funnier off-air events. Plus, I've carefully chronicled an accurate history of the show and how it evolved. Houston's Morning Show. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or as an audiobook on iTunes. Get your copy of Houston's Morning Show today and join the fun.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. The Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Froberg's Farm and Greek Smokehouse on Highway 6 in Alvin. Now, here's the Grill Father, Randy Haynes.
We have a special guest in this segment, my boss. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Randy. How are you today?
I'm good. This is the executive producer of the Outdoor Cooking Show, Greg Berlocker. Welcome to Edgewater Studios.
Thank you for having me on.
You bet. Greg established the concept of the Outdoor Cooking Show as it now exists, and he is a bona fide foodie. You would not be offended by me calling you a bona fide foodie, right?
Absolutely not.
In every sense of the word, you love to cook.
Food is a noble cause.
We'll be awarding medals later on in the show. So how often do you think you actually prepare the family evening meal per week?
That would be 7.
Really?
Yep.
So your wife doesn't cook at all?
She is absolutely a fabulous cook, but she knows how much I enjoy cooking, so she allows me to cook. Now, last night, she did a fantastic spaghetti and meatballs for myself and our son. But other than that, I'll usually do the cooking.
Is that right? So now my wife and I have an understanding. She's from Louisiana, and she is a fabulous cook. My deal with her is you cook it, I'll clean it up. But she cooks more, a lot more often than I do. But I do like to cook outdoors. So that's interesting. You cook like on an average of 6 or 7 nights a week.
We do.
That's amazing. I've always liked to say that I got into grilling because I like to eat. What? Why did you get into grilling?
It's hard to really point to a certain reason. I've been doing it since I was a kid with Boy Scouts, and we didn't have propane back then. We actually cooked over an open fire, and you learn how to build a fire, and you learn how to clean up, and you learn how to do things quickly and efficiently. So
that plays directly into today's show. Greg is very plugged into the foodie community, if you will. He enlists a lot of the guests, especially the chefs that we have here on the Outdoor Cooking Show. But today he's the guest because we received an interesting Facebook message from a listener named, I believe it was Alex Miller.
That's it.
Alex wanted to know about beach cooking. And the two of you exchanged some ideas back and forth in private messages on our Facebook page. The Outdoor Cooking Show is the name of our Facebook page. Please visit and send us a message. And you talked about cooking over what I call an unprotected flame, as opposed to a grill where you can actually put a lid down and protect the flame from the elements, or in most cases, I guess the biggest thing is the wind, the biggest challenge, especially at the beach, which is what Alex was talking about. So you exchanged some ideas with him on how to cook at the beach. Go into that just a little bit.
Well, thanks, Alex, for your question. It was a really good question because cooking at the beach is a challenge. The biggest two things that impediments there is you've got the wind and you've also got sand.
I hadn't thought about that.
The two are a deadly combination. So whenever you cook at the beach, you try to minimize both the sand and the wind. So
how do you do that?
Well, there are several tips. Anytime that you can hide from the wind, that's a good thing. So number one, if you can set up a tarp and get behind a shelter of some sort, a tent, or if you can go behind a vehicle, that'll cut the wind out. And then on the sand, there's a number of different tricks. Set up your chairs. If the kids are going to play, move them over to the side by 10 yards from where you're cooking, because as they run around the beach and things like that, that stirs up the sand. The wind coming off the water will blow it away from you.
Uh-huh.
So, and when you build a fire, there's a secret there. Alex was interested, what's an easy way?
And I believe he said with the least mess.
Yes. So I had an interesting experience in college. I worked for a church camp, and we camped out on the beach for 3 weeks.
Oh, my.
We had 3 different loads of teenagers that would come down and spend a week, and I got a freshwater shower once a day, and we had a wonderful time, but part of it was cooking on the beach. And I learned a number of different tricks. The sand, of course, anything, if you really want anything to spoil your stay at the beach, is getting sand in your food. So there are some tips to minimize that. Number one is that have a handy a jug of water and paper towels with you at all times when you cook. So whenever you get ready to have a pot and pan or cook something in there, wash it out. That makes sure that there's no grit left in that pot. Likewise, when you open up a can of pork and beans or something like that, take a damp towel and wipe off the top of the lid before you open the can.
Hmm.
So you minimize the amount of grit getting into your food.
I see.
Okay. So when you cook, one of the things that I told Alex was that we would take charcoal and set it down into the sand. So you take your bag of charcoal and you lay it
Now, just to be clear, you're going to put it on top of the sand?
For the time being.
Okay.
Okay. And then you're going to take your finger and you're going to trace all around the bag.
Oh.
Right? So you have a form factor there.
I see.
Then you take a shovel and you start digging down. You move the charcoal and then you start digging out inside the tracing. You take the sand.
How deep do you go?
Well, you're going to want to get down about 3 or 4 inches deeper than the bag of the charcoal.
Okay.
So a sharp-sided shovel will leave a nice straight edge,
mm-hmm.
and you dig out a hole perfectly like the shape of the bag of charcoal. You take the sand, and then you put it on the beach side of the hole.
The wind side.
Yes.
It's going to be a wind break.
That's it.
For the flame.
Right. So, and if you need to go dig over on the side of the hole a couple of feet and add extra sand to the berm, if you will,
mm-hmm.
to make it a little bit higher, that's great. So you end up with a hole, and with on one side of it, you end up with a windbreak. And then you want to put a little bit of sand, damp sand, dig it out of the hole because that packs better, and put it on either end of where your charcoal bag will be. And then you're going to raise that up an inch or two. And then you put the charcoal bag back in the hole.
Right.
Slice it open and add charcoal lighter and light the charcoal and let it burn down.
And explode it.
Right. So,
boom.
Now, if it takes a while to light, take your shovel and put your shovel right on top of the charcoal. The wind coming off the water will hit the shovel and it'll get blown down right into the charcoal. So it's kind of the equivalent of taking your vacuum cleaner out or your leaf blower and firing it up, and you'll find out how quickly you can get a charcoal fire going with just the wind.
So then you put the grill over the top of the fire when the charcoal burns down.
Better than that, what you can do is two short steel pipes, and you go from edge to edge. Remember, we built up a little sand on either end
yes.
of the charcoal bag, if you will. Just two simple steel pipes that you can get just about anywhere and set them about 10 inches apart. And those will serve as rails for shish kebabs.
Oh. So,
now, if you want to cook with a griddle or a skillet, add a third rail, and now you have your own grill, if you will. And once you get finished, you only have three small pipes to pack and put in your car, and you don't have grease everywhere. So it's very, very quick and convenient to clean up.
So now Alex asked, he was most interested in, with the least amount of work and mess. So how do you dispose of all the charcoal without disturbing the ecosystem? And we only have a minute left.
Okay. The easiest way to do it is to bury it. Make sure you douse it first, because in case you drive off, that charcoal is going to be hot for quite a while, and you don't want someone walking on top of it and burning themselves. So make sure you put the charcoal out.
But then you just cover it up with the sand that you dug out.
You can. And a lot of people would prefer that you take that away. Certain beaches, they have so many fires. So if you put the fire out, if you go down to the dollar store, you can go buy an inexpensive aluminum pan
mm-hmm.
and put that down in the hole first. And then when the charcoal is cool, lift the pan out and go throw it away.
Wow.
And fill the hole in and you leave nothing behind.
That's brilliant. See, now I would never have thought of any of that because I, to be honest, got a lifetime full of camping out when I was in the United States Army. Thank you very much.
Bivouacs. Amen.
And it's certainly not a family activity in my household because my wife's idea of camping out is a hotel without room service. Greg Berlocker, the executive producer of the Outdoor Cooking Show. We didn't even have time for recipes, did we?
No, we didn't.
And our staff foodie on the program. Next time we'll talk about Texas Tested.
That sounds like a great plan, Randy. Thanks so much.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. The Outdoor Cooking Show will be back with more smoking hot tips for you and your old flame after this short break.
Nothing beats farm fresh produce. Roadside stands are great, but not always well stocked. But Froberg's Farm on Highway 6 in Alvin always has produce fresh from the field. You can't get produce this fresh in stores. Froberg's has a spacious covered market, or you can pick your own produce if you prefer. It's summer, so Froberg's has vine-ripe tomatoes, huge bell peppers, tender young okra, purple hull peas in and out of the shell, and a whole lot more. Fruits, vegetables, jams, jellies, pickles, and a huge selection of dried beans and peas. And Froberg's Farm is famous for its pies, both traditional homemade or fried pies, with over 20 different flavors. Order in advance, and Froberg's can have as many as you need ready for pickup. And be sure you visit Greek Smokehouse right next door while you're there. Froberg's Farm, only 8 miles south of 288 and 2.5 miles from Business 35 on Highway 6 in Alvin. Open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. 7 days a week. Froberg's Farm, farm fresh produce since 1936. Randy Hames is my name, but many of you know me better as half of one of Houston's most iconic early morning comedy radio shows, The Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, I'm no longer Irv Harrigan, but I've written a book about the show that I think you'll love. Fred Olson and I hosted the show for almost 30 years, and we enjoyed unbelievable rating success and won numerous awards. But the best part was, we were just having fun. Listeners told us they laughed all the way to work every day, too, with characters such as Jim Bob Jumpback, The Story Guy, and Tyrone, plus dozens of others. Houston's morning show recreates some of those hilarious on-air moments and gives you a unique behind-the-scenes peek at even funnier off-air events. Plus, I've carefully chronicled an accurate history of the show and how it evolved. Houston's Morning Show. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or as an audiobook on iTunes. Get your copy of Houston's Morning Show today and join the fun. If you're in the energy industry and want to drive down costs, it's time to automate. NuStar Energy Services provides automation solutions for pipelines, independent producers, and any company in the exploration and production sector. Still sending someone out in a pickup to read the flow computer on your well? For about $1 a day, NuStar can collect all that data remotely, so you can monitor everything on a customized web portal. Heck, you can't even buy a gallon of gas for the truck for $1. How about the levels on your tanks at the well site? For about $1 a day, NuStar can set up remote monitoring, so you can see the level in real time and even turn pumps on or off remotely. And remember, NuStar's remote monitoring packages start at about $1 a day. So call NuStar Energy Services today and improve your bottom line. 832-917-1200. That's 832-917-1200 or NuStar-Inc.com. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. The Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Boyd's One Stop at the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's your host, the daddy-o of the patio, Randy Hames.
Say hello now to Herman Brune, who's our next guest on the show. Herman has been described to me as a rodeo cowboy, a mountain man, and a raconteur. Now, Herman, welcome to the show. But first of all, I have to tell you, I had to look up the word raconteur. I didn't know what it meant.
I don't either. Maybe you ought to tell me if that's what they're calling me.
Well, it would be a good idea to know, wouldn't it? The definition is a person who is skilled in relating stories and anecdotes interestingly.
Huh. Well, I'll have to use that myself.
So I learned a new word today.
There you go.
And so did you.
Yes,
Herman
sir.
Is the president-elect, is that right, of the Texas Outdoor Writers Association?
That's right.
And this is the first time I've ever met Herman. But if you're a raconteur, you're going to fit in real good around here.
All right.
I believe we have some mutual friends. If Facebook is to be believed,
right.
We have some mutual friends. Greg Berlocker, obviously the executive producer of the Outdoor Cooking Show. How'd you two meet?
Through the Texas Outdoor Writers.
Yeah.
Right.
And Herman is also a broadcaster in Columbus. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So we have some mutual friends in the radio business. Mm-hmm. Harold Gunn.
Yes.
See, people just laugh when you say his name.
Yeah, when you say Harold, yeah.
So Harold is very proud of his nickname, Harold One Take Gunn. He bragged to me one time. He says, I do everything in one take. And I said, Harold, it sounds like it.
Harold got me into the writing business. I went back to Texas A&M, took all their journalism classes, and then we were sitting around a campfire one night. Gritch Grisham was there. I had John Wooters was there. There was all these old outdoor writers sitting around a campfire behind my house.
Uh-huh.
And I was asking them, I said, guys, how do y'all get into this? You know, I'm trying to sharpen up my writing. I'm trying to get all my media stuff straight, because all I'd done was cowboyed up till then. And I was at that point in time, I was about 35 years old. And I said, I was living a dream. I was guiding in the wilderness. I was riding saddle bronks. I was living like the way I'd always imagined someone in the 1800s would have lived. But problem was, average expectancy of life at the time was about 49, and I was afraid I wasn't going to make it. So I began trying to find another way to make a living, and I came up with the writing stuff because that's what I always liked. And Harold was the one who actually, around that campfire, he's the one who told me, Herman, you need to come to these conferences and figure it out.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, we went from there. It took off from there.
Harold's a hoot and a half. And also, we know Carl Geisler.
Right.
Carl Geisler is a good friend of mine. He and I worked together.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, Rob Cook. Rob Cook's been in law enforcement for a long time.
Right.
And he was a police officer in a place called Meadows Place. I had a house there, and he's a constable now, I believe.
Okay.
So where do you live, Herman?
I live in Shaw's Bend. I live about 5 miles north of Columbus in an old area called Shaw's Bend.
Uh-huh.
And, one of the things I did on my radio show was I interviewed my neighbor lady one day who explained to me what the country looked like before Highway 71 went to Austin.
Yeah.
And you had to go through Shaw's Bend to get to Austin.
Right.
And it's one of those places in Texas that it's not incorporated. You won't see a population sign or a city limit sign. But at one point in time, there was a cotton gin, there was a church, there was a school, there was a store, and it was just a country community.
Well, but Columbus, let's face facts. There are not a whole lot of mountains in Columbus.
No.
Yet you called yourself a mountain man.
So I
assume that you traveled to the mountains, right?
Yes, sir. I started off my guiding career in the Bob Marshall Wilderness in northwestern Montana.
Wow.
And when I was a kid, I went up there and worked on a ranch and made friends with a bunch of the local boys. And I became ultimately a mule packer and a guide up in the Bob Marshall Wilderness. And that's where I talk about living like I was in the 1800s.
But now you take elk hunters.
And I'm in the Washakie Wilderness now in northwestern Wyoming.
Wow.
And we pack mules and we go into the Washakie Wilderness, got some of the best wilderness type elk hunting that I've ever seen. Great elk hunting, I'm a lot older now. it's a good group of guys that I'm with because we're all, we're all a little older. And most of us have been around the block and most of us have our own businesses doing this guiding stuff for fun.
So Herman Bruhn is with us, and we're talking about campfire cooking. Obviously, that's a big part of outdoor cooking. Talk to us just a moment about some of the subtleties of cooking over an unprotected flame as opposed to maybe a griller.
All right. Well, the whole thing about cooking over a flame is finding the heat. And it surprised me as being a wilderness guide when I'd watch these cooks. You know, the irony today is I'm not a cook. I told the first outfitter I ever worked for, there was two things I didn't do. One was cook, and the other was shoe horses. And the second year that I worked for him, I was cooking and shoeing horses. And he's the one who introduced me to all this. And he enjoyed cooking so much that he made it fun for me to learn.
Yeah.
And I learned, and most of our hunters, after watching us cook and eating it, said that they were going to live that way as long as they were in the mountains with us. But when they went home, they had to get back on their diet because their heart doctor would kill them if our cooking didn't. And, cooking over an open fire. Most of the cooking we did up in the Bob Marshall Wilderness was actually on a wood stove.
Ah.
Now, when I got down into southern Montana, I got in the Bzorka Beartooth, and now that outfitter cooked over an open fire.
Yeah.
The outfitter that I'm with now in the Washakie, will actually pack along some little propane stoves as well as to supplement the campfire. And it's all about finding your heat when you're over a campfire and you're cooking for a group of people.
So I figure, I don't know, I've not done this a whole lot, but I figure the key element is planning ahead, because obviously if you're going to be up in the mountains for a while, you're going to have to take along coolers and make sure you got all the elements in place,
right.
Maybe an extra couple of meals that you hadn't planned on in case one fails, or right. You don't catch the fish you wanted to catch.
Yeah. You're going to have, you're talking about summer trips right now. On summer trips, yeah, you can plan fish for one meal for the most of the time in your wilderness areas. Where I've been, it's quite a lot of catch and release. And, you're up in the alpine reaches of the far distant mountains, up as high as you can go, and the fish do not replenish themselves very quick.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot of catch and release, but we usually have one meal that is fish. One of the good things is that, when you first go in, you've got coolers, you pack them on mules, and, the first few days anyway, you've got everything frozen, and you can have, it's fine dining in the mountains. I mean, people are actually surprised at the hors d'oeuvres that we'll put out, at the meals that we'll put out. You have shrimp, you have, anything that you can order in a restaurant. Of course, it's all pre-prepared, it's all ready to go. The meals are all planned, so you're going to sit down and eat what we put out there.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think it's pretty standard, a hot breakfast,
mm-hmm.
a no-cook lunch, mm-hmm. snacks during
right,
the day, and
right.
then a hot meal at dinner?
That's exactly the way it goes.
So tell me, what is the most popular thing that you prepare over a campfire?
Steaks.
Steaks.
Right.
Not chili, not stew.
No. We came under fire for some of our chili.
Why?
We thought it was hilarious because we would give everybody chili and beans the night before the first morning of hunting. and then we'd take off walking up the mountain.
Is this a Mel Brooks movie?
Yes, it is. And we came under fire for that.
And of course, rapid fire.
Yeah, we thought it was fire. We thought it was really funny.
But they didn't.
Yeah, the hunters kind of finally, after enough years, talked us out of it.
So you can see very quickly why Mr. Brune is referred to as a raconteur. Because he's got lots of good stories to tell about backpacking out in the middle of nowhere and hunting elk and cooking over an open flame in a campfire. This is Herman Brune. What's your you don't have a website yet, but you do have a Facebook page, right, Herman?
Yes, Facebook page. It's Herman W. Brune, or just Herman Brune, and then also the Shaw's Bend Social Club.
Okay.
And that's...
both of those on Facebook?
Both of them are on Facebook. Both of them are on the property there in Shaw's... Well, both of them. Shaw's Bend Social Club's right there on the home place in Shaw's Bend, yeah.
It's Herman Brune. He's rodeo cowboy, mountain man, and obviously raconteur. Thanks for visiting with us, Herman.
Oh, my pleasure.
We'll talk again soon.
You bet.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be back with more food and fun after this break.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dike Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. If you're in the energy industry and want to drive down costs, it's time to automate. NuStar Energy Services provides automation solutions for pipelines, independent producers, and any company in the exploration and production sector. Still sending someone out in a pickup to read the flow computer on your well? For about a buck a day, NuStar can collect all that data remotely, so you can monitor everything on a customized web portal. Heck, you can't even buy a gallon of gas for the truck for a buck. How about the levels on your tanks at the well site? For about a buck a day, NuStar can set up remote monitoring, so you can see the level in real time and even turn pumps on or off remotely. And remember, NuStar's remote monitoring packages start at about a buck a day. So call NuStar Energy Services today and improve your bottom line. 832-917-1200. That's 832-917-1200 or NuStar-Inc.com. Does the cell phone connectivity in your office stink? Do you routinely miss calls? Lots of buildings have dead zones, and that means garbled or dropped calls. But not anymore. Texas Cell Phone Boosters provides FCC-approved cell phone booster systems that can make dead zones a thing of the past. These are not rinky-dink systems from big-box stores. These are commercial-grade booster systems that cover tens of thousands of square feet. And Texas Cell Phone Boosters will specifically engineer and install a system in your office or warehouse. If you drive or regularly work in remote locations, Texas Cell Phone Boosters can help you boost a weak signal from a tower a long way off. So don't miss calls from potential customers any longer. Call the pros at Texas Cell Phone Boosters, 832-551-1000. That's 832-551-1000. Or go to TexasCellPhoneBoosters.com. If you love the taste of homemade sausage, Greek Smokehouse at Froberg's Farm in Alvin is an old-fashioned smokehouse with good old-country service. Greek Smokehouse makes 10 different flavors of homemade sausage and smokes them for hours over burning pecan wood. No artificial smoke flavor at Greek's. You'll know that as soon as you walk in the door. Try the house favorite, jalapeno cheese, deer, and pork sausage, or Greek savory boudin, Italian, or summer sausage. The freezer is full of hand-cut ribeye and strip steaks, stuffed pork chops and chicken breasts, stuffed bell peppers, and even peppers stuffed with boudin. And Greek stock seasoning meats to add to your next batch of greens or beans. Nothing's better together than homemade sausage from Greek Smokehouse and fresh veggies from Froberg's Farm right next door. Only 8 miles south of 288 and 2.5 miles from Business 35 on Highway 6 in Alvin. Open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. 7 days a week. Greek Smokehouse. Those boys know how to do it.
May the forks be with you. The Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Froberg's Farm and Greek Smokehouse on Highway 6 in Alvin. Now, here's the man who turns all the grills on, Randy Haynes.
White House.
You beat me to it. I was gonna say, is this the Olson residence? My name is Roger Ailes from Fox and Friends with Benefits. Can I speak to Beverly, please?
It's time to talk to my old friend from my former radio life, Fred Olson. How you doing, buddy?
I am finer than a frog here.
Well, I love them frogs. You know I'm a TCU guy.
Hey, that's right, and they're going to have a great year this year.
It's hotter than a pepper sprout out there, ain't it?
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. Hard to think about sitting around a campfire at a time like this.
Well, we're going to talk about that. First of all, I wanted you to make sure that Bev knows that her blackened peppers that she gave me last week actually spiked my hairdo, and that's saying something.
Oh, they're good, aren't they? Everyone who comes to the house, we give them that recipe if they want it, and almost everyone takes it home with them.
Well, I want you to know right now, I want my taste buds back.
Well, you told me you like hot now. Come on.
Yeah, I do.
I married a woman who likes heat.
Yes.
And so you live with it, and you begin to see the beauty in it. So.
And salt.
Oh, yeah. Heat and salt.
So what y'all cooking out there at Rattlesnake Ranch these days?
Well, let's see. What are we doing? We are going to do something simple like hamburgers. We've got some friends coming to visit. But you made me think about cooking outside on, like, not a gas grill or a smoker.
Mm-hmm.
And something we do in the fall, because we're lucky to, we're out in the country and we have a lot of wood. I'll never run out of firewood.
Right.
And we'll build a nice oak fire and kind of let it burn down a bit.
Uh-huh.
Then we'll put a grate over it or a, what am I thinking?
Yeah, grate. I know what you're talking about. A grill. Yeah, sure.
A grill, yeah. I'll take the grill off my rolling cooker and I'll put it over the fire. Mm-hmm. And let everyone cook what we have put out, whether it's a lamb chop, whether it's a piece of steak, whether it's a piece of chicken, whether it's a shrimp, and get skewers, kind of let everybody else over a low fire cook what they want. And we have all the condiments and stuff, and people love that. You sit around in a big circle and kind of watch your own food so it doesn't, you know, flame up.
You know, that's interesting. I spoke to a chef, I believe it was last week, might have been 2 weeks ago. He is involved in a new show. They haven't really landed a network for it yet, but it's called Potluck, and it's where a group of chefs come together, and they predetermine that each person is going to bring a certain ingredient, and when they get there, they just throw something together from all the ingredients they brought. The name of the show is Potluck. It'll probably show up on a Food Network or something like that, but sounds a lot like what you're describing right there.
It's just fun. It gets people involved, and that way, you know, everybody is engaged in what you're doing, and then it's just a lot of fun. And speaking of hamburgers, I was going to tell you, I don't know if you've done this, but I'm going to make this kind of thing where I cook down bacon and onion together in a pan, kind of make what you call a bacon onion jam to put over a hamburger before you put the buns
on
it.
Well, I made burgers for the family last weekend. Do you remember that recipe I gave you?
Right, yes, with all the ingredients in it.
Yeah. I didn't use that. I just used a little salt and pepper and Worcestershire sauce, threw them on the grill like I always do, and everybody loved them. I know I'm a wimp. I don't care.
Plain as whatever tastes good to you is the good thing. It doesn't have to be fancy. Just as long as, you know, sometimes you make it yourself and you have a lot of pride in it, and just keep it simple and let people, I can tell my wife, let people add their own salt to something. Perfectly acceptable, honey, to not put more salt in there because there's a shaker on the table. Just saying.
Well, we've had two really interesting guests on the show so far today. Our executive producer, Greg Berlocker, described how to grill at the beach.
Nice.
Yeah, he would go out and put the charcoal bag down and draw an outline with it with his finger in the sand, and then pick it up, and he'd dig a hole about 6 inches deeper than the charcoal bag, then throw the charcoal bag with the bag and the charcoal, everything, into the hole and just light it on fire. And then he'd use the sand to create a natural windbreak around it to control the flame.
I like it. Sounds like he's from New England or something.
No, he's not. He's a Texas boy, but he just likes to grill out on the beach. And then we also had Herman Brune. He's an outfitter and a guide for hunters. And he told me how he feeds outdoorsmen when he takes them out on hunting trips using campfires. And I know that you and Bev like to go camping from time to time.
Yes, we do. I'll turn you on to something. Many of your listeners already know this, but I've been privy to this amazing way to cook outdoors with just a few charcoal briquettes. You can make an amazing meal. It's Dutch oven cooking. Have you heard of it?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I have yet to go to, like, they have their own cook-offs, and we have some friends who become masters at this and have shown us how to do it. I will tell you, it's amazing what you can do with a cast iron pot, just a few charcoal briquettes, and patience.
There's the missing element for me.
Don't take the top off, man. Don't look at it.
Yeah, well, that's hard for me to do. You and I talked about that. I'd try to resist the urge to flip things, but I can't get over it.
Yeah, I do. I like to stand over it. I've learned how to squish things down. I just kind of look at it. And just, after a while, if you burn enough things, you get better at how to cook it right. You've got to spend some money ruining meat and other things before you go, oh, it looks like it's done. And a meat thermometer. Bev got me one for my birthday. It's one of those, you know, it's wireless. But you plug it into what you want cooked. You can sit in the house and it'll tell you if it's beef, chicken, or pork, whatever you're cooking, when it's done.
Oh, I got to see that.
Yeah, you plug in pork, whatever the pound rate is, whatever you're cooking, and then it'll tell you when it's reached its prime temp in April.
I got to see that. Well, I know you guys like to camp out, and more power to you, but I'd I got to admit, camping is not my thing. If I wanted to live like a homeless person, I could do it a lot cheaper by just hanging out under an overpass. You know what I'm saying?
And there's something about sitting under the stars.
But people in sleeping bags are nothing more than breakfast tacos to bears. So I'm gonna check into the Hampton Inn, and I'll show up after the snakes leave camp every day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, that's the way you go north. There aren't too many snakes up there.
Oh, okay.
But they do have bears. That offsets the snakes.
I'm not sure I'm willing to drive a long way just to avoid a snake. So cooking over an unprotected flame is not necessarily for everyone, but we all love cooking outdoors, most certainly.
But doesn't it sound dangerous? An unprotected flame. Yeah. We're having unprotected cooking here.
So I like chicken. I like chicken thighs. You know, lots of meat, lots of dark meat, very little bone.
Oh yeah, and you can. There's a lot more juice in them too. Yeah, than the white meat.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So what I came up with this recipe. You mix butter, minced garlic, soy sauce, pepper, and parsley. Don't leave out the parsley. You cook it in the microwave for about 2 minutes until the butter is melted, and then you coat the chicken thighs with this butter mixture and save some for basting. Then you go out for a good hot fire on the griller, and you sear the chicken thighs about 2 minutes on each side, something like that. Then offset the thighs and keep basting them with the butter mixture for about 20 minutes, or like you say, until the core of the meat is about 160 degrees. I'm going to have to come out and check out this meat thermometer you've got.
Well, you can go online and see them all over the place, every way, shape, and form and price range, too. But I recommend getting a good one that fits what you like to do.
Right. Well, what I like to do is not mess up the meat.
That's what, me too.
Yeah, I don't know why.
You know, if you went on the internet and typed, how not to mess up a hamburger, somebody has made a film on it.
Yeah, right.
Or how to change the oil in your boat while you're cooking a hamburger. Someone's made a video on that, too.
So I do all of this, and I cook them about 20 minutes on each side. Then I bring them back inside, throw them away, drive down to the fast food joint, and get some fried chicken.
There you go.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
See, when you're living in the city, you can do that.
No, actually, the grilled chicken is very good. Don't leave out the parsley. I don't know why they said that. It's just what Gordon Ramsay said, so I'm sticking with it.
Well, he knows what he's doing.
And then a baked potato and a salad makes it a daddy meal. Daddy meals are meals that we can't screw up under any circumstances.
That means it came out of a can, right?
And when it comes to bread, I always remember those three little words my wife whispers in my ear, brown and serve.
Yes.
So, just like John Hinckley, we have run out of time, friend.
Well, our career went quickly, and so has this
So has
segment.
This segment. Yes, it has. So, y'all not going camping anytime soon, I know, but I'm just telling you right now, Fred, if you and I are ever out in the woods and a bear is chasing us, I'm going to trip you. That, just so you know, okay?
Yeah.
Love to Bev.
And love to Cindy and the family, too, brother. We'll talk to you next time.
So many thanks to all our guests this afternoon. Now, next week, we'll do our dead level best to answer that age-old quandary, does a bear cook in the woods? And if so, does he use an unprotected flame? Douse those embers, my friends, and keep eating till you pass out.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on The Outdoor Cooking Show.
I was about cooking something up.